You are listening to a broadcast from Proclamation Church. I'm Pastor Jimmy, and I want to thank you for tuning in to this week's sermon lesson. We are located in Orlando, Florida, and we're so glad that you are listening in on us and hope and pray that these next few minutes will be intellectually informative, spiritually enlightening, and altogether life-changing. Thank you again for listening in. It's preaching time. It's time to hear a word from the Lord. And we have one for you today. And I'm so excited about our series that we're in. We're in the series concerning the Trinity Sermon Series, talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our subject today was going to be the second person of the Trinity, and complemented is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The second person of the Trinity is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm not going to hold you long today because I want you to hear what I'm saying. I want you to understand this because this is the precursor to us looking at the person of Christ, right? Going into deep details about what this person of Christ is as it is revealed in the Bible. Today, as we continue with the Trinity series, we want to focus on God the Son, right? And we are not skipping God the Father. Okay, we're not skipping him, right? We're not skipping him because no one is disputing that the Father is God. No one that I know of is disputing that the Father is God. Many, when they hear the word God, they think of the Father. So the Father being God is not an issue for most Christians or even non-believers, even though many non-believers don't believe, they don't believe in God. In their minds, the God that the Christians talk about to them is the Father. And so today, we're going to focus our attention on God the Son. The second person of the Trinity is Jesus, the Son of God. We want to talk about that, and we want to look at what the Bible says about Jesus being God. What it says about Jesus being the Son of God, and what it says about God, the incarnate, right? What it says about Jesus being the Son of God, what it says about him being God, right? We want to talk about that today. Look at that today. So that's our thinking, right? Second person of the Trinity, God the Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The book of John, chapter 1, has enough information to answer all these questions about Jesus being God. Book of John. We're gonna take you there, first chapter. We're going to work our way through what the Bible tells us about Jesus Christ being God, the second person of the Trinity. We want you to hear it, and we want you to understand it and be able to internalize it and then be able to articulate it as we engage the world about this triune God, understanding that Jesus is that second person in that Godhead, all right? So let's look at John. This is the Gospel of John. Now, this is the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to walk through sections of it so we can hear what the Bible says about Jesus being God. It says, first of all, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. All right. And then it says the Word was with God in the beginning. The Word was with God in the beginning. All things were created by him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Y'all hearing that? In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines on in the darkness, but the darkness has not mastered it. All right? The darkness has not mastered it. Let's look, first of all, at verses 1 and 2 of John. And I'm going to bring up my structure, how our structure is going to show you the words that we're going to be focusing on. So those of you who are in the hermeneutics class, it's going to be a joy for you today. We're going to focus on these words, and we're going to talk through what John wants us to see about Jesus Christ being the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. So here's the structure. talks to us about the beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. As you can see, I'm focusing on these highlighted words, and the underlying words is what drives me, helps me to see the structure and the mind of the author. All right, so let's talk a little bit about that. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. Beginning, first of all, we're going to concentrate on the word beginning, arche, beginning or origin. This is speaking about the beginning of the creation when God created all things. Now, this is the Genesis beginning of Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So John tells us that when God started his creative work, listen to me now, that the Word was with him. The Word was there. The word is not any word in the general sense, but the syntax, listen to me, the syntax of the use of the definite article tells us that this word was specific and one of a kind. And the Word was there in the beginning. Are y'all with me? The Word was there in the beginning. Now, the word in Greek is logos, a logos, some people may say. The definition of the Word in this context, is that it is the independent, personified expression of God. And what that means is that the Word is the standalone and sovereign embodiment of the Word spoken by God, all right? This also tells us that before the second person of God was incarnate, which means took on flesh, he was the Word. Now think of it this way, that Jesus, the human person of God, before he became human, was the Word of God. In other words, before the second person of God became a man, he was first the Word, logos. He was first the Word. Are y'all tracking with me? He was first the Word. Now, in this A clause, the A clause of verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. In this A clause of verse 1 also tells us that the Word was with God. Right? The Word was with God. Now, what does this mean? What does it mean? First, it tells us that the Word that is God was also with God. Now, meaning that two persons of God were together in the beginning. You're tracking? God the Father and God the Son in the form of the Word of God. So we also know that the Holy Spirit was there hovering over the deep. If you go back and read that, you'll see that the Holy Spirit was also there hovering over the deep. Then finally, the C clause of verse 1 says that the Word was fully God. The Word was fully God. All right? Y'all tracking with me? The Word was fully God. Now, fully God, in the translation from the Greek word order, says God was the Word. That's all it says. God was the Word. That's what the Greek translates it. Now, the author is stressing the fact that the Word is the one and only true and living God. All right? The Word, if you're missing that, you're missing what the author's trying to get across, that the Word is the one and only true and living God. Okay? Now, verse two is just a complete sentence stating the same thing that the B clause of verse one. All right, verse two is just repeating the B clause of verse one. It says, the Word was with God in the beginning. It's a repeat of, and the Word was with God. All right, you see that? The author does not want you to miss the fact that God is revealing to us that the Word was in the beginning. So much so he says it twice, right? And we learn that in the Greek, when we see the Greek writers, when they repeat something, that means they're emphasizing it and they want you to understand it. So he's repeating it. It's redundant that he was there with God in the beginning. All right. Now, let's look at verse three. Let me bring up verse three. Verse three says this. All things, this is interesting. This sermon's not going to be long, but it's full of information, full of information, all from this series of passages from John. It says, all things were created by him. And apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. All right. All things were created by him. And apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. First of all, listen to me. First of all, this is confirmation that the beginning talked about in verse 1, in the beginning was the word, is speaking about the beginning of creation. All right, that's your confirmation that we're talking about beginning of creation. The statement that all things were created by him lets us know that this is the creation account from the book of Genesis, right? Genesis 1 and 3 says, 1 and 3 says, let there be light. And there was light. Genesis 1 and 3, right? And God said, I want you to hear that. God said, let there be light. And there was light. All right? You're tracking with me? Genesis 3. So when you see this Genesis account, there are two persons present in verse 3, all right? The Father and the Word, a definite noun, the Word. Now, do you see that? God the Father used the Word to speak light into existence. And so the two of the persons in the Trinity and in the triune God, God the Father and God the Word, are together in the beginning of creation. Remember, we already said the Holy Spirit is there too because he's hovering over the deep. But we're not talking about him right now. We just want you to see Jesus as the second person of the Trinity, right? In the form of the Word, right? He's the Word. So he's there with God, the Father, at the beginning. Now, back to Genesis 3, not back to Genesis 1. I'm sorry, Genesis 1. Back to John 1. Let's look at verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5. This is interesting. Verses 4 and 5. It says, okay, I'm not ready for that yet. Go back to Genesis 1, 3. Yeah, Genesis 1, 3. So John 1 and 3 says this. All things, listen to me, all things were created by him. All things were created by him. We're going to focus on that clause right now. All things were created by him. So focus your mind on that clause, up into that comma, right? All things were created by the means of him. All right. Someone, listen to me. Someone may say to you that the pronoun him is not referring to the Word, but to God. And this is why it's important to take the hermeneutics class, because you learn how to deal with the pronouns that are dispersed throughout the Bible. They're extremely important that you get them right. The rule of thumb in finding the antecedent, also called the head noun, is to look to the previous clause or sentences and find the subject, right? What is the head noun? The previous sentence is verse 2, which says, let me just read it to you. The Word, it says this, the Word was with God in the beginning. The Word was with God in the beginning. The head noun of the subject in verse 2 is the Word and not God. You see that? So the antecedent to the pronoun him is the Word. Now, this works the same for verse 1, right? The subject in verse 1 is the Word and not God. So verse 1 and verse 2 are consistent with the Word being the subject of the passage. What you should see is that the author is revealing something to us about the Word, right? Something to us about the Word. And that is that the Word is God, all right? And with that understanding, verse 3 should read this way. So if we were to substitute the antecedent for the pronoun, it would read this way. All things were created by the Word. And apart from the Word, not one thing was created that has been created. Y'all tracking with me? All right. Now I'm ready for verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5 of John 1. 4 and 5 of John 1. It says, in him was life. And the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines on in the darkness, but the darkness has not mastered it. Now, the other thing that may throw most readers off is the use of the pronoun him instead of the pronoun it. Y'all tracking? What may throw most readers off, get them confused, is the use of the pronoun him instead of the pronoun it. One may say that the word is not a person and therefore should not be referenced with the pronoun that refers to a person. So instead of him, they would say that the word should be referred to by using the pronoun it. But the very fact, listen to me, the very fact that the author uses the pronoun him to refer to the word signifies and confirms that the word is a person. Are y'all seeing that? The author John is not mistaken by what he's writing. And the author God is not mistaken by what he reveals to John to write. The pronoun is him. Why? Because the word is the masculine person, he. We say it again. The pronoun is him because the word is the masculine person, he. Y'all with me? So, hear it this way. The word was life, and that life was the light of mankind. And the light shines on in the darkness, but the darkness has not mastered it. So, in summation, so if you're following the hermeneutics class, I'm in the summation part now. We've done the observation. We looked at the interpretation. Now we're doing the summation. So, in summation, the word is the personified expression of God. Now, do you understand what all that means? The word is the person of God used to express himself through speaking. The word is the person of God used to express himself through speaking. Now for the kicker. Here's the big kicker. The evaluation question, right? So we've gone from the summation. Now we're in the evaluation question. The question is, what's the big deal? Why is this important? Right? What's the big deal? Why is this important? So with all that we know now, let's move. And this is going to be important that you move with me in your mind and your heart and understand this. We're going to move to John 1 and 14. Okay, let me bring up that. John 1 and 14. All right. John 1 and 14. All right. Now, here's what it says. Now the word became flesh and took up residence among us. We saw his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth, who came from the Father. All right. I want you to see that structure. It's giving us a plethora of information about the word, right? Flesh. I'm going to focus on flesh. Let's look at the word flesh. Flesh, sarx. This refers to a physical being, a living being with flesh. So now the person of the word becomes a physical being, a living being with flesh. And this physical being with flesh took up residence among us, right? Residence is skeno. The word is skeno in Greek, and it means to live in a place where we are, to live among us as we live on the earth, to reside with others and be seen by others. So not only that, but this living was not in secret, but they saw him in his glory. They saw him. And they saw him in his glory, the glory that is full of grace and truth that only belongs to the one and only Son of God. So what's the big deal? What's the big deal? I'm going to close with this. I told you it wasn't going to be long, but I want you to hear this. What's the big deal? The big deal. Put this in your mind. Here's the big deal. Put this up as I walk through it. The big deal is this. What is the big deal? The big deal is is that this identifies, this is one, you know, John 1, 1 through 5, through 4, 5, and then 1 and 14. It identifies the only person who is God, who was the Word with God in the beginning, who became the physical being by becoming a man, taking on flesh, is none other than the man, Jesus Christ. Are y'all tracking with me? Here's the big deal. Let me say it again. That this identifies the only person who is God, who is the Word with God in the beginning, who became a physical being by becoming a man, taking on flesh, is none other than the man Jesus Christ. So, because this is Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ is the second person of the triune God who is God. Jesus is God, who was the Word before he became the physical human man. All right? The person of the triune God, who was the Word and who put on flesh, is Jesus. Person of the triune God, who was the Word and who put on flesh, is Jesus. So now we know what the Bible says about the second person of the Trinity. It says that he is Jesus Christ. Are you tracking with me? All right. It says that he is Jesus Christ. And he is God. So next week, we want to talk about the person of Christ, right? And get detailed understanding of what the Bible says about him and how we are to believe and discuss him with others in the world. So we had to set up this framework about Jesus being God and how we work through that, through our understanding that comes from God through his word. About his son being God, God himself, right? The one true and living God. The second person by God being himself, Jesus Christ. So in the discussion, as we talk about this person of Christ, this is what we want to start thinking about for next week, the person of Christ. We have to talk about things such as the dual nature. We talked a little bit about that, the dual nature, fully God and fully man. We want to talk about the incarnation and the kenosis. And then we want to also talk about the atonement and his eternal state, right? His eternal state. So those are some of the things we're going to talk about on this week, next week. But what you take away from today is that you just saw from the Word of God in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, 1 through 5, and verse 14, that Jesus is God. And before he took on flesh, he was the Word. All right? Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word that you've given us. We thank you for clearly identifying through your word your son, Jesus Christ, as the second person of the Trinity. Thank you, God, for helping us to see as we put things together, logically flowing down, progressively moving through the text, that you reveal to us that Jesus is God. Thank you so much for opening up our hearts and our minds to your truth, and helping us to internalize it, help us to walk in it, help us to have faith in it. So much faith, God, that we are willing to tell others what we've seen and heard and believed. That Jesus is God. And that this, even though the word Trinity is not in the Bible, the concept is there. And it's all over the scriptures. And you have revealed that to us today. So we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you for this truth that you've given us. We ask that you would just touch us now and help us to walk in this truth. And just believe in what you've given us. And to be bold and tell others about it. We ask this in Christ's name. We ask this in Christ's name, and all together we say, Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. Just a few announcements before our after church chat. There are two ways to give offering: electronically via Cash App, hashtag The Proclamator or by mail to 511 Eartha Lane, Orlando, Florida 32805. Please fill out a contact card before you sign off today if you're new here, have never filled one out, or need to update your information. This ensures you receive valuable church news and updates and your year-end giving statement. To fill out this contact card, go to postable.com/proclamationchurch. Join us every weekday at 12 p.m. for prayer at the same Zoom link. Noon Zoom is a time to share prayer requests and praise reports and intercede for the needs of our church, community, and our world. We gather for Bible study every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Don't miss this important time of growing deeper in your understanding of God and God's Word. All of our Sunday sermons are available on sermon audio for you to re-listen or share with someone who needs to hear a good word. Visit sermonaudio.com/theproclamator to listen or download. If you're not yet a member of a church community, we'd love to welcome you as a member of Proclamation Church. Contact Pastor Jimmy or Pastor Keon for more information about Proclamation Church or for help finding a local church if you're not based in the Orlando area. This week's Bible reading can be found in the chat. Read along with us as we make our way through the scriptures. If you'd like to receive a weekly text of the Bible reading, please text Sign Me Up to 407-468-7931. Again, thank you for being here with us at Proclamation Church. We hope you'll stick around for the after church chat to discuss the sermon and spend a few moments in fellowship.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Proclamation Church. I am Pastor Jimmy, and it is my hope and prayer that the sermon lesson has opened your eyes to the truth of the scriptures and that you are able to apply its meaning to your life. Thank you, and may God's love continue to shine on you. Stay safe and tune in again.